Mr. You are golden.
We're good?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate your work. We'd like to welcome you out to our Iron County Commission meeting this Monday, the 24th day of February, 2025. Appreciate all in attendance. We'll begin our meeting this morning with a word of prayer offered by Carol Barker. And following her prayer, Jeannie Bartholomew will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Father God, I just thank you for today. Thank you for this beautiful place that we live in. Thank you for just giving us everything we need for life and liberty. I pray that you would be with us today in this meeting, that we would make wise decisions, that the meeting would address issues that the county faces, that we would all be men and women of integrity and honesty. I pray for our community that we would come together and unite on important things, that we would be able to set aside the petty disagreements and remember that we are all in this thing that we call life together. And I just pray for guidance, and as we learn about things in our nation with the corruption that's being brought to light, I just thank you for the way that our county is managed. I appreciate the fact that these men and women work very hard and diligently to take care of the resources that are given them to guard and protect. Please watch over our first responders, keep them safe. And Lord, I just pray that as we go into this spring, that you will bring rain and moisture that we so desperately need. I just thank you and praise you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
You're hooked.
It's all fine. Hold on.
Still hooked.
Still hooked. I don't even know what I'm hooked to. Sweet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Well, right there. Okay. All right, thank you. We will go ahead and look at approving our minutes for February 10th, 2025. Has everybody had a chance to look at those?
Yes.
Okay, entertain a motion.
I'd move for approval of the minutes from our February 10th commission meeting.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, I need a motion to approve the bills, the warrants, for February 10th, 2025 to February 23rd, 2025.
I would make a motion to approve the warrants department. Nope.
It's the next one, the
warrants.
The little standalone under that. The next one down?
Approve of claims for payment from February 10th, 2025 to February 23rd, 2025.
Second.
We moved and seconded to pay the bills. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We'll move into departmental reports. We'll start with our clerk.
Could I go second?
Sure.
One of my reports didn't make it up here, so I'll be back.
Emergency preparedness. Where's George? George, you're up.
By default.
You're up by default, my friend.
The dog ate my homework. I got to go get it.
So I'm going to change my usual routine. Usually I just sit here and read off of the list of everything I've done in the quarter. But I'm often asked, what is it you do? And I said, in your job, and I said two things. I go to meetings and I go to disasters. Of the two, I prefer disasters. They're better organized, and at the end, I feel like I've accomplished something. There were no disasters this quarter, unfortunately, a lot of meetings. So I did that. I went to 22 meetings, one exercise, and I submitted two grant two grant submissions. Back in October of last year, the state put out a letter to emergency managers that said, if you'd like to apply for a mitigation grant, a flood mitigation grant, you needed to send in a letter of intent. I did, and we were one of the counties that was accepted to go on with that process. And thank God for Rich Wilson, because I didn't understand any of the engineering stuff. I was merely the note taker and the compiler of the information. But we've been working on that since probably December of last year. And two Fridays ago, not this last Friday, but Friday before last, I pushed the final submit button. We asked for $200,000 from the federal government to build a retention pond or detention. I quite that. Rich explained to me the difference, and I'm not sure. He said, you know, if you're pulled over by the police, you're detained. If they arrest you, you're retained. So he said, think of it in that way. But anyway, we asked for $200,000. By the time FEMA and the state got through with it, they insisted that we take $834,000. So that's what I applied for, was an $834,000 grant to dig a hole in the ground in Iron County.
Where at?
You'd have to ask Rich. That's one of those, Commissioner. I'm not sure exactly where he wants to dig that. It's not on a normal floodplain. It's not in our historical, but we know he knows the water goes there every time we flood, which brings up one of the things that was brought up to me is that NOAA's long-term forecasting is that for the next maybe 5 years, we're going to see smaller snowpacks and more monsoonal activity, which will mean that probably fire season is not going to be good. And then when everything burns off, we're going to get monsoonal rains and everything's going to come downhill. So it's not a good forecast as far as emergency management goes. So as far as my budget, we just barely started in the year, so we're doing fine. We're keeping well within budget. Any questions, comments? Smack me around.
Appreciate your work, George.
Curious if you forward this on to Elon to make sure he approved.
Well, I jokingly said to Rich, I said, I'm going to call Elon about this. And we actually considered for a minute withdrawing just simply because of the disparity between what we asked for and what they insisted that we apply for. But we went ahead and did it anyway.
So. Thank you.
Once again, George, I don't know, George is kind of everywhere behind the scenes. In my day-to-day, George is generally out there coordinating, you know, with other departments in the county, with other municipalities. Just appreciate your efforts, as usual.
All right.
you're my, well, I'm not going to say it on the record. So you're my favorite department. You don't cause me any drama, but all my other departments.
I'm too old and tired for drama, so. All right. Oh. Thank you, commissioners.
Oh, thank you, George, sincerely.
Ready? Michael? Okay. We'll have our clerk report. John Whitaker.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to clarify. Georgia's my favorite department of one. Where there, you know, where there's one.
It's too late, man. The damage is done.
I know. Where there's one guy, where in all the departments that I oversee, that where there's one employee, Georgia's my favorite. They all know I love them.
You feel good about that, George?
We know. It looks like John took that pretty hard.
John's not one of mine.
That's true. That's true. I'm just feeling empathy for the other. Oh, goodness. Okay, I just wanted to report on a few numbers. Last year, of course, was a big year for us with the general election. This year, we've got municipal elections. Our busyness and our budget kind of reflect that, so it's a bit lower this year. A lot of opportunities for training. We implemented the different clerk grades. Thank you for that last year. And we'll start getting folks ready for promotions. As we talked about, those will be available in 2026. But just some statistics from the clerk's office. And all of these numbers are up, just like most other departments. Our marriage applications, we did 484 marriage applications for a total of 14,520, 453 new or renewal of business licenses for $35,000, 363 passport applications, 395 pictures for passport applications or concealed carry for $4,000, and we did 54 sewer impact fees for $40,500. 43 of those 53 sewer impact had a lift or lateral connection that the county collects and reimburses to Cedar City for a total of $14,000. We are on track with our budget. I asked Luke to pull. I've got some hot off the press numbers here, but basically we're well within. As the clerk, I touch other budgets as well. Non-departmental is very low so far this year as well. The sewer service expense and are right on, and special service district number 3 is what was budgeted there. So that's pretty good. We have had a few things. Luke and I went on a tour of the jail site. That was kind of cool to see. They had poured cells 12 and 13 of 84 that they had to pour, and it was really a cool process. We were grateful. Taylor took us around and showed us the site. They had they're in the middle of building an extension off Horse Alley to service the rest of the property, a smaller sewer line to service some of those other lots, which of course will be separate from the larger sewer line that we've been working on. I had a chance to visit with you this morning. Commissioner Blake has signed an agreement with ESCI, which is a firm that we've engaged to do a study of the feasibility of a fire district or districts in Iron County. They have about a 6-step process that they've outlined, and we will very much look forward to having all of the important players at the table. We've visited with the chiefs about this ahead of time, this won't be a surprise to them. Commissioner Blake, appreciate his leadership, and George has been very helpful. Our former fire warden, Ryan Riddle, was instrumental in kind of moving this forward, and we've got funding for the contract, half funding for a $50,000 contract, which means we're going to end up paying about $25,000 for the study. And, you know, sometimes the study will say, well, it's not feasible, or this is how it's feasible. But that's the point, is we need to know kind of where we are as we've evolved. We've got different areas in Iron County with different fire needs. We've got urban, suburban, rural, and wildland urban interface, the WUI, and then we've got some mountainous areas that also are suburban. So we've got quite the mix in Iron County. Any questions for me? I kind of talked your ear off.
I don't have any questions, but really thank you for your work on the feasibility contract.
It kind of died. We
didn't know if we were going to actually get a bid. We didn't know if there were kind of two companies, and then it kind of went dark, and then one company kind of came back and said, "Look, we're interested, but you got to pay us a whole bunch more money."
Yeah.
And so John was able to kind of negotiate.
We were grateful that ESCI was willing to
encourage people to answer the RFP. And we feel like we have a really good option to get that feasibility study done. And that's something that every entity in the county, all the fire entities, Peregrine and Bryan Head, Parowan, Newcastle, Earl, Cedar City, Canaraville, everybody's aware of this and been working toward this. George has also been really instrumental.
He really has.
As far as emergency management in working out the deals on
this.
That's
probably why he's your favorite department.
He has the best cowboy hat of all of my departments.
I got to spend a lot of time with George during the election. I'm really grateful for him. So
thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's a really big deal that I'm really glad that it's moving forward now.
You know, and I wanted to kind of head off a few of the concerns that come up as we talk about this. One was, what is the quality of this outfit? ESCI, they are a California company, but they took into great consideration. Ryan Riddle wrote most of what he anticipated to be the needs to study fire, and they really took that into consideration. And ESCI comes highly recommended from the Five County Association, Gary Zabriskie and Brian Theriot. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, John.
We'll hear from our fleet director, Wade Adams.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll just start off with the budget overview. Remains in good standing for the first quarter of 25. And then vehicle orders that we ordered this year, the procurement's on track. Had 20 on there, but it's actually 23 vehicles that we ordered for this year. Four Toyota RAV4s. I don't have any updates on those. One Toyota 4Runner. No update on that one. Two Ford Expeditions. That's going to be for K9, and they've been scheduled. Three Ford F-350s. Two for fire. One for Newcastle. One for Cedar, and then for the Parks Department, and two of those have been built, scheduled for March 14th, and one's in production. One Ford Transit cargo van for the Corrections Department, it's in production. And then we had eight Ford F-150s for the Sheriff's Office. Four have been built and scheduled for March 31st, one in transit, and three in production. Two Ford F-150s, and those are scheduled. And then two Ford F-450s for the road department that are in production. So I was able to contact Ford, that's our representative for the fleet, for government fleet, and he was able to give me a login to Ford Pro. So I'm able to actually go in there and look at the orders, see where they're at in standing and production, scheduling, and all that. So last year we had an issue where we lost out on eight of them because they switched. They balanced out the orders for going from 24 to 25s, and then Cedar Motor Company didn't catch that, and so we lost out on eight of those vehicles from last year, so that put us behind. But now I can watch that and see where they're at and make sure that they're being sent to us, and so we receive our orders. So upfitting progress, upfitting operations are ramping up. So we've had several minor modifications we've completed. One full upfit for the Sheriff's Office that we just did. And then we've got two nearing completion for the weed department, and then we're going to start on another full outfit for the Sheriff's Office.
How'd that one go, Wade?
Good. We've had a couple little bugs at the end, but, I mean, it's just with programming and stuff, but we just go in there and tweak a few things, and we've had several come in from PVI that we've had to actually go in and reprogram some of the stuff. So just little quality control things here and there, but it's going good, so. And then
buy your parts from Same place they do?
Yeah, the same place they do. And so they think they mark theirs up about 30%. And so ours are cheaper, so 30% off. So it's from Sound Off Signals where we get most of it. There's some other places, different pieces of equipment that we get. So toolboxes, stuff like that, in a different place. So parts are being salvaged from the vehicles scheduled for auction, so we can maximize our reuse. So we're actually going through that process right now, of looking at everything we have, trying to do an inventory of the older parts, because that's our main goal, is just to switch all that stuff from one vehicle to the next and see, you know, get as much use as we can out of it. So, I mean, that's going to be a tremendous cost savings. So, maintenance update, fleet maintenance remains highly active, handling regular service and repair needs. So we just purchased a new fleet management program. Well, it was toward the end of the last year. So the one we had, it just wasn't working out. There was a lot of glitches with it. It was slow. The one we paid for helps us track maintenance expenditures, upfitting activities, auctions, and accident-related costs. So the new system offers improved capabilities, and it's half the cost of what the other one was. So I was able to save there, too. Personnel update. So we just hired our newest member, mechanic. He's Cody Murray is his name, and he's going to be our primary upfitter. So he came from City Muffler. He's got a lot of experience in electrical and all that, and we've actually had him started on the one of the corrections vans, and he's just fantastic. So
that'll be
very
good.
Smart and willing and hardworking.
We'll chase it down.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. And my other guys are great too. So Dave and Kelton and Kathy, it's been fantastic. So auctions, talk about auctions a little bit. So the pricing's remaining decent. So the car market's trending downward. So some of the challenges that I've seen with auctioning newer vehicles on that surplus auction is the 10% premium that they tack to it for the buyer. So we put those two Camrys on there last year, and they didn't quite meet the reserve. I had the reserve set on to what we paid for them, so we could get our costs back. And with that 10% on there, it was going to put it over Blue Book. So they didn't want to. They stopped right there. I was able to contact a used car dealership up north that's bought stuff off our auction before, and he was just able to pay for those prices. So without that auction fee, so we met our turnover. So, which is good. So let's see, future sales strategy considerations. So I want to really look at maybe trying some online stuff, or even do something like a local auction like the Forest Service used to do with these newer vehicles, to try to get away from that 10% fee. I'm still going to try to put some on there and see how they do, but I just think it's going to be better trying to sell them these other avenues to get what we paid for them. So I know we don't want to necessarily make money. We don't want to compete with the dealerships, but if we can get what we paid for it and bring that cost of ownership way down, that would be key. So due to fluctuations in vehicle demand, continuous market analysis is necessary to optimize fleet turnover and maximize resale value. So challenges exist in predicting the vehicle popularity. So F-150s right now are down a little bit because there's been a whole bunch of them out there and the market's flooded. So we're constantly trying to figure out what's most popular, I mean, and what meets our needs.
So I randomly, you know, working late into the night last night, I heard a thing on the radio that for the first time in 42 years, the F-150 is not the number one seller. It is now the RAV4. And the F-150 is bumped to number two.
Yeah.
Just random, of the night radio stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at, I mean.
That's helpful.
We've got some RAV4. We got a few RAV4s, and yeah, we sold some of them already, and we did get what we paid for them. And they're really good on gas, so I mean, 40 to 50 miles a gallon, so it works really good. So that's pretty much I've got. If you guys have any other questions,
thank you.
Thank you, Wade. Wade. Appreciate it. Jennifer, Human Resource.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
For our budget, for the 2024 year, the HR department ended well below budget with 20% remaining, and we do not foresee any anticipated budget issues for the 2025 year. The only thing that we are going to be discussing with IT is the possibility of getting a new system that will streamline our employee files to a digital format, and we're hopeful that we can do that this year. Since the last HR report on 11-12 of 24, we have posted, interviewed, and hired 13 positions. We've promoted 15 positions, and currently we are in the process of recruiting, interviewing, or promoting 21 full-time positions and 3 part-time positions. So that is definitely a full-time job in and of itself. So points of interest, our turnover for 2024 ended at 22.58% or 56 positions. In comparison to the total figures of 23, the turnover was 20.56% or 51 positions. And 2024 turnover was the highest turnover we've had since I've tracked it so far, unfortunately. And in 2025, we're down a total of 4 positions. So workman's compensation EMOD, and I'll kind of explain what that is a little bit.
Go ahead. I'm just curious, are you able to attribute that higher turnover to anything specific?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not really seeing an overarching pattern.
Is it primarily law enforcement? Not necessarily?
Not necessarily on that either. It's kind of all over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what we're up against there.
I know.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably dive into that a little bit this year just to make sure that we're not seeing a trend on one aspect or another.
Yeah.
So workman's compensation EMOD decreased for the 2025 year to 0.76, which is the lowest it's been since 2021.
That's
amazing.
Fantastic.
EMOD figures under 1.0 will result in lower costs for Iron County. And we will plan an accident committee meeting sometime this quarter, hopefully to cover the few remaining claims of 24, as well as those few claims of 25. And I'll explain a little bit of what an EMOD is. I do at least once a year, and I knew that's what you were getting at. Anyway, a premium modifier reflects the loss experienced of a policyholder compared to the payroll exposure during that same time period. And what they end up doing is taking a 3-year snapshot of the claims and your employee numbers and kind of do some sort of a calculation and get to that sweet spot. And the sweet spot is supposed to be under 1. So we're doing really great.
We had less workers' comp claims than average.
I probably should have just said that.
Oh, I mean, because that's...
No worries.
You said it was correct, but it's like, you know.
You got to dumb it down for us.
I
got to dumb it down for us.
I included, and the packet's pretty big this year because I wanted to make sure that you had some charts from PEHP, Workman's Compensation, and Bloomquist Hill, which is my... I just love Bloomquist Health. They're wonderful. They're our employee assistance program that assists with mental health needs of our employees, and I think that is absolutely key. So I just wanted to include those in there for you to kind of see where we're at. There's lots of charts. If you have any questions about that, I'm happy to spend some time with them. So just let me know.
Does Bloomquist Health give us usage information?
Yes,
or
yes. On that back page, second to last page. The utilization for Bloomquist Health, surprisingly, is our online services. So a lot of people are tuning in to do a lot of their webinars and that kind of thing. They would love to do some one-on-ones a little bit more. And they did say the last time we met a couple of weeks ago, they did say that they would love to do some training for our department heads. So I'm hopeful that we can do that.
I would love to do that. We could maybe disseminate, down to the employees. Because these are some amazing services, and I'm not sure everybody knows what we have available to us as employees.
Yes.
And this is a great, great service.
It's a great resource. And that's one of the things that I advocate for the most, I think, is just to make sure that those are used.
As you move forward with that, if there's anything I can help with, please.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Yeah. The thing that I love also the most is celebrating milestone anniversaries. I love the people that really take their careers with Iron County and stay here. So last report, we've had several milestones. Dave McIntyre in the Sheriff's Office Patrol, Wyatt Cox in the Sheriff's Office Corrections, Braden Beaumont in the Assessor's Office, and me in HR have celebrated 5 years of service. Lori Eichelberger in the Justice Court and Marcia Smith in the Recorder's Office celebrated 10 years of service. Jessica Kramer in the Attorney's Office celebrated 15 years of service. And Carrie Christensen in the Auditor's Office, Carrie Jeffries in the Recorder's Office today. Amber Bennett in the Tourism Department, Dave Avila, and Doug Johnson in the Sheriff's Office Corrections all have celebrated 20 years service with Iron County. So, any questions for me?
It's pretty cool.
It is. And they get a really nice plaque made by me with a pin. So I made my own, too. So there you go.
I would hope so.
Yeah, right?
So you've been here for 5 years. I'm sure it hasn't felt a minute over 25 years.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say 50, but that's okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Appreciate it. Okay, our public defender, Candace, is going to call in and report. She couldn't be here in person, so Sam's going to get her on the phone and hold it up to his microphone. And I don't see David Johnson here.
Let me text him okay. And see if...
Hello? Candace, I'm going to put you on speaker. Okay, you're good to go.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for accommodating. As far as public defense, we're doing well. We got our two new public defenders. They're working and moving forward with trial settings. The budget, I mean, we're doing well with the budget, no concerns that way. We're prepping for applications for continued IDC grant funding that will start in the next couple weeks. Any questions for me?
I don't think so.
No.
Boom, boom, boom. You're done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace.
Thank you for your service. We appreciate you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Anywhere? Well, Ken, do you want to go ahead and report?
Oh, here. I got half of it typed, yeah. And then I got another one that came in.
And we could do the same with him if you want to just call him and have him report, too. Why don't you go ahead and go, Ken?
Call David Johnson. I'll scoot away from the microphone.
Okay. Had some good meetings. Was able to go, let's see where to begin. Went to the Children's Justice Center, had a tour of the new one, spent some time there, and had a really good introduction as to what's all involved there with Wendy, and had a really good meeting with her. Had opportunity to go to the road shed also and met with Justin there for quite a while. Went over to the sign shop and met with, now I'm losing his name, the gentleman in the sign shop. Anybody?
Martin.
Yep,
Martin.
There we go, Martin. We're working on a sign to put at the old Children's Justice Center so that people that are looking for that don't go to the old one and knock on the door and surprise the people that live there and who are not able to help them with any services and try to redirect them to the new facility. So
they had a bunch of those?
It's been several.
Okay.
It's been...
I've got David via phone.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you done?
No.
I thought you were done.
Go ahead.
No, you finish. No, David, we're waiting for David to finish. We're waiting for you to finish.
Okay. And also attended the Farm Bureau meeting, the County Farm Bureau meeting. There's a gentleman there that proposed an idea of piping water out of the canyon to a reservoir up above Second East Restaurant behind the hill there and building a dam back there. So that was very interesting. And he's been in contact with Reed and talking to him. So... there's several power stations along that it would generate electricity for Iron County and Cedar City, so that was an interesting idea. Also spent Friday at the Capitol with Farm Bureau. They paraded in several representatives throughout the state. Celeste Malloy was there, and she came in and presented. Also attended the Iron County Cattlemen's Association meeting, and Celeste was asked to speak at that also. And so one thing that she said in both of her speeches is be patient with the changes that are coming. It's a lot coming at us very quickly, and it'll all filter out and we'll be all right. So she said be patient, and I've noticed recently she's posted on her social media, if you're having issues with a government entity, to please call her, and she would be involved in that. So, but that's what I did.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Hold on, David. I'm going to put you
This is David speaker. Johnson, Economic Development.
Good. All right. You're live, my friend.
Okay. All right, commission members, I apologize. I didn't see that my quarterly report was this commission meeting. So just a few highlights. So we will be bringing to you, as you're probably used to each month, we will be bringing to you the annual rebates for the solar projects that we have. Obviously, we have several solar projects in the county moving forward. And so we'll be bringing some of those to you here in the coming, probably next month and the following. We'll probably try to break it up into a couple different things. But by way of projects, we have had, and I can't speak to all the specifics on projects, but we have had probably half a dozen different site tours recently for manufacturers in the last few months here that have been extremely promising with the BZI Innovation Park, with Silver Hills Industrial, and with Port 15, which is actually in the city's portion. We've had just a lot of interest in the area. Sometimes I've felt like a chicken with my head cut off, but we've been happy to roll out the red carpet, and gratefully various entities in the community have helped us to host. So Southwest Tech, SUU, the Shakespeare Festival, as well as, you know, these industrial partners in the county have been able to graciously host these site visits, which have gone very well. But as you know, these types of projects sometimes take several months, and sometimes just in the initial discussions when they're trying to have interest, and then from there, a lot of times these projects take a couple years build out. So we're hoping we'll be able to have some cool projects to announce. My hope is hopefully this summer we've got a couple of cool projects to announce. There are a couple already underway, but I don't know that they've made their names public yet. And so I don't want to jump the gun in for those companies, but there are a couple smaller projects and that have already begun, and there's a couple larger projects that hopefully we'll be able to announce soon as well.
All right. Is that good? Is that your report?
That's the gist of it. Are you having questions, commissioners?
No, I just heard of some good things coming, so thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And we just really appreciate all of your support. You know, there's so much going on in economic development in Iron County, and it's fun to work with my peers and see the great collaboration that we have in Iron County. When sometimes some of my peers are, you know, trying to get the support and work through silos, it's a much different story here. So it's a wonderful place to be able to do economic development that is extremely business friendly and helping create jobs for our community.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate I will talk to you soon. I'll let you get back to work.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I'll kind of hit the highlights.
Mike pulled an 18-hour last night, so we'll...
I'm fueled by caffeine and hatred this morning. Not so much hatred. So a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, so actually I had to cut out of our post commission meeting to go to this, but we had a meeting with an individual, who's wanting to use our firearms range kind of for a personal business opportunity. And there's been a little bit of conflict there. So we had a meeting with this individual to kind of try and resolve that conflict, as well as figure out, because it's a worthwhile thing that he's doing, but just not appropriate for county property. So that meeting went really well. We committed to him to help him with some solutions and maybe find some alternate property or alternate people to partner with. And it's kind of a training experience. They do a lot of work with veterans, things like that. They do some work with law enforcement. So we're going to work with him to try and find him a better option than the public range, so there's not that conflict. And John was at that meeting. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, we worked with we visited with him, and then we've been trying to find perhaps like a defunct old gravel pit that we had used, or a place that might be, you know, safe for that kind of activity. I've also visited with a few kind of the major landowners around the county, see if they have something. I think and as more of a veteran geared group, Mike put him in contact with the Southern Utah Veterans Association, and we're hopeful for some opportunities that way. Those guys are real go-getters.
Yeah. So worthwhile project, just there's a little bit too much conflict on county property. So we'll figure that out. We'll get him going.
It's hard to be patient, but we're trying to figure out something there.
Yeah. David mentioned some of the some of the site visits. Had an opportunity to take part in a site visit. Everything has a code name in the economic development world, and you never know exactly who you're dealing with. This was Project Peabody. We're able to meet with representatives from that company, spend some time with them, with the utility companies, with, you know, just everybody that would be in play for them to move a facility here. And they're really cool. But that's kind of a fun opportunity, you know, my economic development role, to be able to work with those people. Maria and I sat down with some representatives from SUU that are looking to expand some of their athletic programs, which in turn would allow for more opportunities for like high school championships, things like that are proven economic drivers into our TRT and TRCC funds. So that was a preliminary meeting. We actually have a meeting scheduled with combined our TRT and TRCC advisory boards in the near future to discuss those and look at kind of the feasibility of participating with SUU in that. So I had the opportunity with SUU to meet with the Honorable, I'm going to butcher her name, but Sila Tokia. She is the Consulate General of Tonga. Had an opportunity to meet with her, welcome her to the community, as well as some other dignitaries from Tonga that were here for a conference at SUU with the Polynesian Student Group. Had an airport board meeting this last week. We've got some issues with lease rates. We're, you know, trying to make things equitable and fair to attract business to the airport. Also, you know, along that same line, working on a big project with SUU Aviation to expand their operations. As we, you know, we had a presentation, we talked recently, they're an economic impact of about $80 million a year into our community, into our tax base. This project would expand that significantly and be a really good thing for both the community and the university and the airport in general. Had a meeting with our with fire. So basically, we have the Cedar City kind of / Iron County Fire Department that covers Cedar City and unincorporated areas, including Enoch and Canaryville. Between Enoch, between Enoch and Iron County and Canaraville a little bit, but they still get credit. We pay 41% of Cedar Fire's budget. And in that, they cover unincorporated Iron County. As we know, the city's budget cycle is a fiscal year cycle. So we meet every year at about this time to look at their budget proposals and to make sure that the needs of unincorporated Iron County and Enoch and all the areas that they cover are being met through those budget requests, because it's actually Cedar City that handles all the budget. But knowing that we as a group contribute 41% of their budget. So that's important. We had that meeting this week. Lastly, on Saturday, I was able to attend ribbon cutting with the Chamber of Commerce. I sit on the chamber board for Beans and Brews, a new coffee house in Cedar City, located right there by Harbor Freight. It's kind of a cool thing. There's sitting areas, but they have lots of other things on the menu besides coffee. They've got lots of hot chocolate stuff. They've got cold fruit drinks. They've got snacks. It's good for us to be able to welcome those new businesses, you know, quality businesses into town that really contribute to our economy. So that's the highlights.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. All right. This last week I had some five-county meetings, our Board of Health meeting. Dr. Blodgett, he's awesome, always does a great job, gives good report, is very supportive of our five-county area. We also had our Human Services meeting. Derek Morton has stepped down from the community representative on that board. We're looking for a new individual. For anybody out in our listening audience would like to serve on that board, we're looking for someone right now. And the Human Services Board, they basically receive a lot of government grants and distribute those to needy and lower-income folks. And so that's what they do. We continue to meet weekly on our jail. As John reported, they're pouring a cell. Cornerstone is pouring a cell a day, I think, right now. And it's coming along. We're battling some issues with the new administration, where I support what they're doing. The tariff situation is affecting us negatively on our budget. The other day I got a call from Ed Defner from Layton Construction, and he asked, we have a electrical contractor selected, and he asked if I could sign a purchase order early to purchase all of the wire before the prices jumped dramatically. We were able to do that. We acted quickly within a couple of hours. They purchased the wire for our jail, saved us about $56,000. So we're trying to maneuver our way through this jail process, and with the increases in costs from imports. We've lost our operator for the engineering department. We had a great Garrett was great, but we've lost him. We're looking for a new operator. Legislature's in full swing. I've been watching one bill in particular, and Bruce, I just saw Bruce Anderson here. The tire bill, it looks like, last night I was looking at it, looked like it sailed through the Senate. And what this is a lot of the counties are having trouble disposing of their tires. They charge a fee when people bring those to the landfills, and but they accumulate, and in the past they've had to grind those up to real small pieces to satisfy the State Department of Environmental Quality or whatever, and they're running a bill to where they can grind those up so they can be bigger pieces, I think 8-inch minus, so that they can use that as cover for the landfill versus dirt. It'll be a win-win because you can't, it's a weird law, but you can't really throw tires, and anybody can't just throw tires in a trailer and transport them across the state because they consider them hazardous waste, but we have them on our cars every day driving down the road, so I don't quite understand that one. But that bill's in the House right now, and it's looking good, so hopefully that'll pass. Let's see. I want to take a minute and address an issue. And I noticed the news media is here, and I anticipated that this morning. But I want to talk about a personal issue in our family's life. We had a son that was arrested about a month ago. It's probably been the hardest thing we've ever dealt with. Sorry. Our son of 21 years ago was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And mental disorders are a real thing. And we love him as much as our other children. And it's been really hard. As you can imagine, with the meetings I've attended for a long time about building a new jail, and knowing that one of our family members might be a resident there, it's been hard. When Blake was arrested, he has some medical needs, and we got a call. Sorry. We got a call from him that night, and in no way do I want to disparage or knock our law enforcement, our jail. I love them to death, Shalon and Ken and everybody. But and whether our son was maybe exaggerating a little bit, I don't know, but he called Mary, his mother, about 9:30 that night and said, "Hey, Mom, my sleep apnea machine that I desperately need is about out of distilled water, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to get some," and he has to have that for his health. And so Mary and I jumped in the car and ran to Lynn's. It's been kind of a hard process because it's been hard because I'm a commissioner, and having a son in incarcerated, I don't know all the rules. I've learned a lot. But Mary and I ran to Lynn's that night, bought a gallon of distilled water, took it up to the jail, rang the doorbell, and a little gal came out to talk to me, and she said I don't even remember what I said. I haven't read what I said, but she said they can't accept stuff from the public, and now that I understand why, I get it, but I think I got wound up that night, and I've got kind of a statement I've thought about here, and I have, it seems like in politics, I've been in politics for about 14 years, and one thing I have learned in this job is that friends come and go and enemies accumulate, and so there's some that I guess like to take opportunities to kick you when you're down. I know I didn't handle the situation well that night. As you can imagine, Mary and I were both extremely emotional. I was deeply concerned for my son's health, and I reacted inappropriately, but never did I threaten anyone's job. I apologize then, and I apologize now for my actions. I've said plenty of foolish things in my life, and I'm sure I'll say more. But one thing I will never apologize for is being a father, loving my son, and doing my best to protect his health by taking some distilled water for his CPAP machine that night. And so with that, I wanted to address that. I know the news media is here, and I knew that would probably come up. Once again, I think that our jail staff and those that run that facility do a tremendous job. I've never asked for special treatment for my son. The only thing we've ever really been concerned about in this process is his mental health and the medications that he does and some of those things to keep him healthy. And so with that, that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Break. Okay.
So we'll break. It's 10 o'clock. We'll go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll start our next meeting. Thank you.
Well, we don't do it on Christmas Day.
Okay, you're golden.
We good?
Yep.
All right, we'd like to welcome everybody to our 10 o'clock meeting and resume our county commission discussions. We will begin on agenda item number one, which is public comments. 3-minute time limit per speaker for public comment. Participants should not repeat others' comments, only for items not on the agenda. No items related to commission's role as an appeal board. Comments should be directed to the commission. No attacks on other people's character. So if you'd like to make a comment, please approach the mic and state your name. Seeing none, we'll move to agenda item number two, presentation of annual PILT payment from the state of Utah. Kevin Bunnell. Hi, Kevin. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
One of these times I want you to show up with like a five-foot.
We want the big check, like the publisher's clearinghouse check.
Need to do that in Kane County where I delivered a check to them for like $2.50.
It costs more to print it than the check.
We don't own much land in Kane County. Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to come on my annual visit. Commissioner Robinson, congratulations on your election. If there's anything I can do to bring you up to speed on anything related to the Division of Wildlife, please reach out.
Thank you.
Our official business today, I just delivered a PILT payment for our payment in lieu of taxes to the county for $2,505 for the land that the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources owns in Iron County. Just a couple of updates from us. We have a new director, Riley Peck. If you've spent time up on the Hill in the last few years, you may have run into Riley. He's been our legislative liaison for the last 6 years, and it's probably not a good thing, but that's probably as good a training ground as you can get to be the director of Division of Wildlife now, is having spent 6 years up on with the legislature, because that's the nature of the job anymore. Riley's will be really good for us. He's got a lot of support inside and outside of the agency. I'd like to find a time to get him down here to introduce him to the commission, and I'll look for opportunities to do that. You know, the topic that's always on the agenda when I come to Iron County is prairie dogs. First, I want to just express appreciation for Reed Erickson and Mike Worthen. We work really closely with them, my staff does, and last year was a record year in the number of prairie dogs. And thank goodness it happened last year and not 10 or 12 years ago, because we're in such a better place now than we were then in terms of the tools that we have to deal with things. It doesn't mean that there's still conflict, there's still frustration, there's still issues, but man, we can work through them now because we have the tools that we didn't have before. We're still hamstrung a little bit by the Fish and Wildlife Service, who have management authority over prairie dogs. But as I've been mentioning for the last couple of years, we are on a path towards delisting of that species. It's not going to happen quickly, but we have had a significant thing happen in the last few months. The Fish and Wildlife Service has told us that they will begin what's called a species status review, which is the first step towards a recommendation for them to take them off the list. And we're confident that will come out favorable. We have they're using our data. We have the best data and can show that that species is being managed correctly and secure for its future. And I hope that they come to the same conclusion. But we're still talking about a 5 to 10 year process to get to where we have full state management authority over prairie dogs. But we're committed to working through that and hope that it goes the way that we expect it to. And it's a map there and some information on our watershed restoration initiative to mm-hmm. Commissioner Cousins. Continues to be kind of one of the shining stars of our work in the Division of Wildlife, and you see it as you drive up and down I-15 in Iron County. We've done over 16,000 acres of habitat work in cooperation with the federal agencies and a lot of private landowners. That's the best thing about the Watershed Restoration Initiative, is we don't worry about property lines. We work with everybody and are able to get projects done where we need them and how they. It's become a really competitive process now to get those projects funded, but we consistently get about a third of the of the money allocated to projects here in the southern part of the state.
It's an amazing program.
It's awesome to see.
Which is great. It's, you know, you mentioned some of the upheaval that's happening in the federal government. That's going to slow us down a little bit with Forest Service and BLM partners, but we're working through that. There's some grants and other things that are put on hold, but we'll continue to work through that, and hopefully things will, you know, work themselves out over time with that. As with everybody, we're worried about the lack of moisture in this part of the state. It's amazing. You don't have to go very far north of here, and we're in the almost 80%, and right here we're at about around 30% of our snowpack. So we'll be hoping that March, as we turn the corner, that we bring some moisture. We're not going to catch up, but we need to end up in better shape than we are right now, and we'll be watching that closely, as with everybody else. And then just one other update, and I talked with Mike Worthen about this the other day. We're working on we've got a whole bunch of turkeys in the Buena Vista neighborhood or subdivision, which always becomes interesting because you have about half the people feeding them and half the people complaining about them.
Right.
And that's exactly what we've got. We actually tried to do it, use a drop net out there this morning to see if we could trap some of them. They didn't come in under the net, although we had about 30 of them there yesterday morning. This morning they didn't come in, but we'll continue to work through that issue. At our coordination meeting coming up here in a couple of weeks, we've got some things we'd like to talk with you about. Potential solutions there that may help with that, so we'll bring that up then. But that's all I have. Welcome to it. I'd be happy to take any questions that you guys might have or any project or any assignments. So
you can blame my late father-in-law Floyd Coles for the turkeys.
he played a big part in that.
He did.
And for the most part, it's been a really good thing.
It has been great.
But they cause some issues at times, that's okay.
So attempts at trapping will continue?
You know, we're going to try. We'll continue to monitor it with baiting to see if we can get them to come into the area that we want. But when other people are putting out food as well, sometimes that's hard. Lack of snow makes it really difficult, especially as things start greening up and there's lots of other food available. So we're getting to the time of year, if the temperatures continue, it's going to be tough to be successful at trapping this year. But we'll work on it the best we can.
So. Isn't there a proposed bill? I don't know if it's in the Senate or the House right now to make it illegal to feed the turkeys.
Not that I'm aware of.
I think there is. In fact, I think there is too. Just in the last
game,
couple of days,
any game
like feeding wild game, there's actually a bill. I don't know how you're ever going to enforce that very well.
But bills that I would guess that would be in one of Casey Snyder's bills.
I can't remember who the sponsor.
It slipped past me. So.
Yeah, but there's something in there that and it specifically talks about wild turkeys in residential areas in that bill.
Sometimes it would be helpful to have that, and it's one of the topics that I'd like to talk to you about at our coordination meetings.
Yeah, I don't remember how that came across, how I saw that, but it was just the last couple of days on legislative update.
I'll check on that. I get a pretty detailed email from our Salt Lake office every week on bills that are being tracked, and I didn't notice that, but I could have just missed it as I was reviewing it. So.
Yeah, it wasn't one that I was looking at, but for whatever reason I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because I knew that the Buena Vista thing was going on. I'm like, oh, that's so direct relation to that. So.
So Jeannie just looked it up, and it is currently illegal to feed wild turkeys in Utah.
Oh.
I don't know what the law is, but.
I know there are some county ordinances up north. You'll have to send me that, because I don't know that we have anything we can enforce on that.
It looked like a quick Google search there, but anyway.
it's one of those awkward situations where you have you know, half the neighborhood loves them and half the neighborhood hates them, and we end up in the middle of that and try to be delicate as we deal with it. So
I wish they tasted just a little bit better.
You know, ones that are being fed corn, probably.
They probably answer.
Not quite the butterball turkey that you get in the store.
You're just not feeding them right,
I'm sure,
John.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anything else for me, Commissioner?
That's it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate our partnership. Thanks.
We'll go to item number three, discussion possible ratification of a BLM communication site lease with the BLM on 0.1 acres in Hamlin Valley, section 19, in the description of the agenda. Mike Hilliger.
Good morning, Commissioners. Corporal Hilliger with Sheriff's Office. Thanks for letting me get a couple minutes to brief you on this. I won't quite say that I was thrown under the bus to come and present this to you. Maybe
I will.
Delegated, maybe a better word.
I asked Lieutenant Mitchell, and he's like, oh, yeah, Corporal Hilliger will give the report.
I didn't want to say any names, but I appreciate it.
I would. Throw them all under the bus.
And I thought I was going to get away without having the sheriff here to watch me fumble in front of you, but that didn't work out either. Real quick on the turkeys, though, I really do appreciate them in that area, only because I got to watch them chase one of my deputies back to his truck. So that was a highlight for me that day.
Did he deploy a taser?
No, he went out to do traffic control, kind of push them out of the way so cars could get through, and one of them turned right around and chased him right back to his truck.
Didn't like that. So
thought that was pretty funny for me that day.
I hope that was on camera of some sort.
I think we looked for it, and it was not on camera.
That's a shame.
So today I'm here to talk about the BLM communications site release that we were trying to get. Basically a 10-foot repeater put out there in the Hamlin Valley area so we can have good, safe communications in one of the main areas that we have zero communications. So we're trying to make that effective as soon as we can. I guess, is there any questions or what would you like to know on it?
I wonder, I think probably the best part of this is to talk about why that's been a problem and what the deal with that is, because it's a big problem.
Right. Well, a lot of it's terrain, too. We don't have radio towers all the way out there that are giving us clear line of sight to get good communications with any of our first responder radios, BLM, Forest Service, Sheriff's Office, Search and Rescue. You don't have any cell phone signal out there either. So not that this is going to help us with the cell phone signal, but we can certainly fix the safety of our officers and our search and rescue personnel out there. Yeah. And it's a repeater. It's a standalone radio that's going to be set up on this site lease for approximately 30 years. We're looking to get some fencing and security around it, but it'll be a solar standalone system.
And there was a time crunch on that. It needed to be in a few days ago. So I've already signed the contract because there was a time limit. We were up against a time limit on it. So I signed it and it's here for ratification. So
sounds good.
I'll just also note that there was no funding appropriated for that purpose. They don't charge us to have the lease. This was strictly to make sure that reporting requirements are done and other legal jargon that was reviewed as well prior to it being signed.
So the only cost to the county will be the actual equipment?
Correct.
That's interesting because I think the Forest Service does charge us for our sites. BLM is because we got
everything donated. Right. And so to set up the system that we have going up there, everything's been donated. Some of the
materials, local
communities' materials to build the repeater itself has been donated, so still no cost to the county.
Is there somebody donating the fence around it?
I don't know.
Still looking for that.
Yeah, I brought my search and rescue people to speak a lot more clear and specific on things. So
we have leftover fencing in the county yard that's available to us to do the fencing. So there'll be minimal cost on putting the fencing up.
Yeah. Perfect.
Awesome.
Is there a...
Yeah, the post and the concrete to set the post, I think, are the only things that we're looking at. We just don't have anything. Right.
Is there a need for signage?
We're going to put search and rescue signs on it so that they know that it belongs to the search and rescue group.
Yeah. I was going to say, we have that ability over
the sign. Our county sign shop, any needs, no trespassing or whatever, any needs, our county sign shop will take care of.
I believe that would be pretty beneficial to make sure that we just do that and get it posted the right way. So. Yeah. And we got a little bit more bite in the game if something does happen. So.
Cool.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion to ratify this.
I'll move for approval for ratification of a BLM communication site lease with a BLM on 0.10 acres in Hamlin Valley with the legal description in the agenda.
Second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We'll report back that you did an amazing job. Personnel. Jennifer.
Hello again. I'll cover everything but the last one for your consideration, and then we'll go into more depth after that, if that's okay. In the attorney's office, Joseph Massey was selected from the most recent competitive recruiting and interview process to backfill the vacant full-time attorney deputy one position effective 3-3 of 25. In the weed department, we have selected four seasonal employees from the most recent recruiting and interview process. Presley Lewis, part-time, starting 4-1 of 25. Amy Bentley, full-time, starting 3-3 of 25. And Zachary Hatch, as well as Kevin Tippetts, are both full-time, starting at 3-17-25. In the Sheriff's Office Corrections, J.D. Allen was selected from the most recent interview and selection process to backfill the full-time Deputy 1 position, starting 2-23 of 25. In the Sheriff's Office Patrol, Jared O'Mealy has completed all requirements to be promoted from a full-time Deputy 2 to a full-time Deputy 3 position beginning March 2nd of 25. And Josh Carver has been selected to fill the vacant part-time Patrol Reserve Deputy 1 position effective 3-3 of 25.
Very good. Thank you. Any discussion on that? Not all entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve items under personnel 1-4.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for personnel items 1-4. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. All right. Last on the calendar, we're going to be discussing the possibility of a promotion for an employee. And I wanted to read on the policy just the section that will be your consideration for approval. And it pertains to the employee in question not yet eligible for the promotion, and Bruce is going to expand on that a little bit. But I'll read that section for your consideration and then turn the time over to him. Promotion to any new position shall not take place until 6 months has passed since prior promotion. Exceptions may be granted for positions that need an immediate fill based on unforeseen circumstances and must receive prior approval of the Iron County Commission. And the Public Works Director, Bruce Anderson, will present his needs and statistics on that.
Thank you. Hey, Bruce.
Hello. Thank you, Jennifer. Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
I just want to go into to where I am, I guess, before we get to the thing with Trevor. I got my roster right here. There is 15 people on our roster right now. We should have 20. We just got approved for three more this last budget season. So we need 23. So that means we're down 8 people. And then I have the record of all the people that we hired since 2023. There's 16 people on there. And we're out basically them other 5 positions. That means 21 people have quit the road department in the last 2 years, since 2023. Is what that's done is what we have over there is the schedule is there's myself, a master mechanic, a road supervisor, and then we have 8 equipment operators, and they're lead workers, right? They're the ones that patrol with the graders, and that's what we're trying to backfill, right? So Trevor Johnson has been doing the job. I get that he hasn't been here long enough, but the vacancy is there, and it's what happens is it really just kind of funnels down, right? That next guy doing the work, and he's more than been doing the work. On this roster, I have 7 other people. 5 other people that are not getting the job just based on they don't have the experience and the knowledge that he has. We really need some help at the road department. We really do. With that many people gone, I've got And privately later, I'm going to share with you the the voice message that we got last week that was way more explicitory than than I've ever heard before. But I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 subdivisions that need help really bad. And with the help I've got, I can barely keep the main roads and the dirt roads going on. There's Bridle Path, Monarch Meadows, Cross Hollow Hills, Peak View, Thorley Subdivision, Monta Vista, and Buena Vista haven't been touched in years. We're going to lose these roads. Another road that's bad is 91 from Enoch to Summit. It's a horrible road. I don't know if you guys, John shaking his head like, wow, I drove it once and then my car broke down. Then there's the Desert Mound Road is horrible. We're going to lose it if we don't get, and I just need some help. I need help, that competent help that can get there. You talked about Garrett leaving. He started in Sevier County for $25 an hour. That's what they start him at. Currently, we're way below that. We're at like $20.92. And this is a problem that's persisted, and it's not going to fix itself. It's at the interview, and I guess three of them showed up. One was a virtual. We offered it to two of them, and one of them took it. And tomorrow, we had three on the interview list, and one of them's dropped out already. So we're just bleeding. We're bleeding over there. And if I can just get – Trevor's already doing the work. It's a funnel-down system. When they do the work, because there's only seven or eight of these positions, when they go ahead and do the work and those positions are filled, they don't get paid. EL, we'd put you there, and that step would be a 6-1. We like to hire people – well, no, that'd be what we'd put them in, even with a CDL as a 6-1. Okay. After they get their traffic control and that kind of stuff, we'd move them up to road worker 2.
Uh-huh.
And that's a 7.
Okay.
And then after that, the equipment operator, basically the lead operators, yeah, are 8s.
Okay.
There is another position here, and that it was misprinted. I have done that, but if they don't have the flagger certification, then we just bump them up in the grades, in the steps, not the grades.
Gotcha.
Is that something you do there at the shop, the flagger certification, or do they have to go to?
There is a trainee or a trainer that comes down, and we try to get two or three at a time. We partner up with Cedar City and Enoch City, okay, whoever wants to come, and then it does. There is a cost to it. But we have to train them, yes.
So have